Not sure exactly where to start with my thoughts this morning, but I suppose if I had a verse to start off with, it would be found over in the fourth chapter of Proverbs, in verse 26, where it says, "Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." In this world, we often find that the child of God has choices that we can make in this life. We make choices every day, don't we? We decide what we're going to eat, when we're going to eat, decide how much we're going to eat. That's a decision I'm messing up on a whole lot lately here. We decide what we're going to watch. If you watch television, we decide all sorts of different things in our life. Our life is made up around decisions, isn't it? When we're driving, we decide the speed that we want to go, regardless of what the posted speed limit is. We make decisions and choices every day. We're constantly making decisions and choices. So we're not new to making decisions and choices. Sometimes our choices or sometimes our decisions or choices are good, and sometimes our choices are bad. And we can make a lot of bad choices, and we've all here made a lot of bad choices. And thanks be to God, we've made a lot of good choices. One good choice that the members of Mountain Home have made is you've taken up your cross and you've baptized into the church and you've declared a confession of faith to follow the Lord, to be the bride of Christ. That was a decision, a choice that you made. That was a good choice, by the way. That's a very good choice. So we see that there are choices that we have to make. In Matthew chapter 7, before we really start our thoughts, he talks about a couple of choices. The Lord does on the Sermon on the Mount in the 7th chapter of Matthew, and he says here a couple of choices. In the 13th verse, he says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." There's a couple of decisions there, aren't they? We can either go the broad way or we can go the narrow way. The broad way is the easy way. The broad way is filled with people, isn't it? It's not straightened. The narrow way is. The narrow way is more difficult. And few there be that find it. Now this, dear child of God, is not talking about heaven and hell. This is not talking about you have to find your way to heaven. And if you don't and you just take that broad path is going to lead you to hell. It says it leads you to destruction, not an eternal lake of fire. That destruction that he's talking about is the destruction that we can bring upon ourselves in this life by making bad choices, by following the flesh. And few there be that find the narrow way. I want to tell you, heaven is not going to be just a few people. In the book of Revelation, John talks about people shouting glory to the Lord, and it sounds as great waters, rivers of water. Great multitude of people which no man could number. Out of every nation, kindred, tongue, tribe, and people. There's not just a few, dear child of God, that are going to be in heaven. That Jesus Christ died for a great multitude of people. But I do want to tell you one thing, dear child of God. There's just a few that's going to find that straight and narrow way in this life. There's just a few that's going to find the peace that we can have in following the Lord in this life. We have choices to make in this life. We've got paths that are laid out before us. And which path will we take? Because you see, when you were born again by the Spirit of God, let me define that just a little bit for you. When the Lord born you again, at His time, when it pleased Him, not when it pleased you, because when you decided you wanted to follow the Lord, because you had the love of Lord in your heart, guess what? The Lord was already in your heart. Or you wouldn't have had the love of the Lord in your heart. That's simple enough to me. Somebody comes down and says, oh, I want to give myself to the Lord. And they got tears dropping off their chin. And I want to get rid of all the things that I've done, and I want to accept Jesus Christ into my heart because I now have a repentant of heart. I have a heart of sorrow for my sins, and I have a heart of great love for my Savior, and I want to get saved. Guess what? You're already saved. Or you wouldn't have had those convictions in your heart. You wouldn't have had the love of God in your heart. You wouldn't have had the desire to repent. You wouldn't have had the convictions in your heart of you being a sinner and your great love for the Lord. That came from God. That didn't come from man. Because man in his corrupt nature, without the Spirit of God in him, is totally depraved. Totally depraved. That means there is nothing good in that man whatsoever. Paul said in the third chapter of Romans, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. Man in his depraved state without the Spirit of God in his heart doesn't have the desire to love God, doesn't have the ability to love God. It's like in the Old Testament, it's talking about the deaf adder that stoppeth up her ears. Why would a deaf adder stop up her ears? It's deaf. Why would they have to stop up their ears? Why would a deaf adder have to stop up her ears? Because they can't hear and they don't want to hear. Such was the case with me and you before we were born again by the effectual call of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But now, when you were born again by the Spirit of God, guess what? You kept that old nature. Now, what I'm describing here is the dual complex creature. What I'm describing here is why we have two paths that we can take in this life. Because we have the Adam nature in us that still desires the things of self, but you also have the Spirit of God within you. Now, when Paul said there's none that doeth good, no, not one, he's talking about man without the nature of God within him. Now that you have the nature of God within you, we can, by faith, please God. We can please God. We have the love of God in our heart. And we can choose to do right. And a lot of times we make that right decision. And we really can't boast in ourselves and who we are because of that corrupt nature that we had. You remember Paul said in the 5th chapter of Galatians in the 17th verse, he said, the flesh lusteth against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And these two are contrary one to the other so that you cannot do the things that you would. Paul recognized that there are two natures within us that are not working together, but he says they're contrary one to the other. One is trying to have, as I remember Brother Marvin saying so many times, one is trying to have preeminence over the other. The flesh is trying to have preeminence in your life. And that's a path that sometimes we take. And it's the wrong path. But I want to tell you, there's a Spirit of God within us that is attempting to have preeminence over the flesh. And that is the path that we should be choosing in this life. Now you say, perhaps, I just don't have the willpower. I just can't do it. My flesh is just too strong. That won't work. That excuse doesn't work. You do have the power. You have the power because God has given you the power. God has given you the ability to choose right. When you choose wrong, that is you choosing the wrong thing. You can't just say, well, it was just against my willpower. No, it wasn't. You went the wrong way. Fess up, own it, and get back in the right path. Get out of the broad way and get back over there in search of the narrow way. He says over here in our opening verse, ponder the path of thy feet. Let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. So he's telling us of the path that we ought to be pondering. When he says ponder, he's saying consider, estimate. Consider the path. What path are you on? I can tell you there's been a lot of times, too many times in my life that I have been on the wrong path. And I want to tell you, I never, ever received a blessing in that path. Never. Now, I can't even say that I received one because I didn't. In fact, all I ever received in that path was trouble. All I ever received in that path was sorrow and agony. All I ever received in that path is destruction. You remember that's what the Lord says in the broad way? It leadeth to destruction. All I ever received in going down that path, when you sum it all up, was destruction. Destruction of self. Destruction of others that are around you. There were no blessings in that. But I want to tell you what, dear child of God. Every time I followed the path that I was supposed to follow in the Lord, I received a blessing. I received a blessing. God blesses us in our obedience to him. Ponder the path of thy feet. He said earlier in that same Proverbs, chapter 4 and verse 14, enter not into the path of the wicked and go not in the way of evil men. Path number one. There's two paths that I want to talk about. Path number one is the path of self-gratification. It's a path of self. It's a path of self-gratification, self-indulgence, self-will, self-sufficiency, self-seeking. This path is all about self. This path is all about me, my self-sufficiency, my self-gratification, my self-will, my self-seeking, my self-indulgence. Those are all the path. That's all in that path. Is looking out for old number one. And when we see that, we can see in the Bible that when somebody went that way, it always ended out bad. Isn't it wonderful that we have God's Word, that we don't have to learn something over and over again without just reading it up and letting God's Word tell us what's going to end up, but yet at the same time we still keep learning it over and over and over again, don't we? It's right here. If we just read it, it's there. It tells us what's going to happen if you go that way. But we go that way anyhow, don't we? We still don't go that way. We get into that path of self-gratification of who I am and what I want. You know, I heard earlier this week that that man doesn't want to be a slave. That he doesn't want to be a slave. I'm talking about a slave to anything here, okay? But you know what? There's a lot of times that a man does want to be a slave. I'm not saying it's right. I can remember when Israel was in Egyptian bondage, captivity, when they were slaves under the under Pharaoh and his and the Egyptians, and the Lord through Moses, you remember they had the taskmasters that were afflicting them sorely because they were afraid that Israel was going to grow and grow so big that they might one day overtake the Egyptians, so they begin to sorely punish them. But I love what the Bible says. It says the more that they were afflicted, the more they grew. I like that. The more that they were afflicted, the more that they grew. Do you know that the more that you're afflicted in this life for Christ's sake, the more you'll grow? The more, I'm not talking about suffering for things that you do wrong. I'm talking about suffering for Christ's sake. The more that you suffer for Christ's sake, the more that you'll grow in your strength, the more that you'll grow in your faith, and the more that you'll grow in your dependence upon the Lord. But anyhow, we see where God brings them across, doesn't he? The sea there, the sea opens up and they cross on dry ground. And they're over there away from that bondage. And they begin to murmur and complain just 3 days later, didn't they? Just 3 days later, they started murmuring and complaining. God began to feed them, didn't he, in the wilderness. For all those 40 years, God fed them manna. It was angel bread, so to speak, that would come down from heaven, and they were to collect an omer full for each person in each family. And then on Saturday, you'd get 2 omer fulls, so you wouldn't have to go out and gather on Sunday. Well, they couldn't keep that very long either. But anyhow, they were eating this heavenly manna. They would go out and collect it, and they would eat it. And then you remember that the Bible said they began to loathe this white bread, saying, oh, that we were just back in Egypt, eating the cucumbers and garlics and the leeks and eating those things. Oh, that we were just back under bondage. Oh, that we were just back where we were at with the taskmasters just for some leeks and cucumbers and things such as that. You see, if we're not careful, that path of self-gratification can lead us to a place of bondage in ourselves. It can lead us to a place that we're having to serve some. You know, in this life, you're serving somebody. You're going to serve somebody. I guarantee you're going to serve somebody. You're either going to serve the Lord. You say, no, I am my own man. I'm my own woman. I serve no one. I'm going to do my own thing. I've got news for you. Satan's already got you as his servant. And you don't even know it. You're going to serve somebody. How about just serving the Lord? Wouldn't that be the best thing? Is that we just serve God? And not follow that path of self-gratification. Follow that path of self-will, self-want. In Galatians 13, we see where Lot and Abraham were together, and there was a strife between their herdsmen, between Abraham's herdsmen and Lot's herdsmen. And Abraham essentially said, Lot, you pick out which way you want to go, and I'll go the other way, and we'll divide, and so there won't be any strife. You tell me, Lot, which way you're going to go, and Abraham said I'll go the other way. He said in Lot in the 10th verse, and Lot lifted up his eyes. Well, the 9th verse, is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself. Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me, and I will take the left hand, then I will go to the right, or if thou depart to the right, then I will go to the left. This is Abraham telling Lot, whichever way you want to go. And then listen to what Lot says here. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Abraham dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent towards Sodom. We see here where Lot is going down the wrong path. He's taking that path of self-gratification, self-indulgence, self-will, self-seeking. And what happens while he's down there? Do you remember what happens? The angel of the Lord, there's two angels, the angel of the Lord sends two angels down there to Lot's house to bring him and his family out, and there's some commotion and things going on down there in his house, and in this wicked place. And you know, they never did fully convince Lot of coming. They took him by his hand. They took him by the hand and brought him out, and his two daughters and his wives and his wife. And you remember his wife looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. And you remember Lot and his two daughters were kept up in a cave watching the destruction, God destroying that wicked place of Sodom and Gomorrah. And they thought they were the only ones there, and they began to think that they had to repopulate the earth, and ungodliness was going on in that cave. That was the wrong path, wasn't it? Where did it lead him? There was no blessings in that path that he received. What started that path? That what looked good, the well-watered lands, the plains. You see, Abraham, he took the mountains and the hills. And it said of Abraham in that last verse in the 13th chapter, then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. You know, everywhere Abraham went, he built altars unto the Lord. Now I got some news for you. Abraham didn't always do everything right, because Abraham was human just like me and you. But we do see that when Abraham was doing right and building altars unto the Lord and worshiping the Lord, that the Lord was blessing him in their walk. The prodigal son. You remember the story about the prodigal who decided to leave his father's place and go live a riotous life. What was his end result before the Bible says he came to himself? His end result was he was there feeding the husks to the hogs, and would in vain eat those husks. See, he was there for self-gratification. And he started out having a real fun time, didn't he? He took his inheritance. He went off into the big city and began to live it up. And I bet you at that time he thought, boy, I'll tell you what, I've got it made. I didn't know how good it was out here. You see, that's how that path does. It starts off broad. It's a broad path. But the best way to look at that, it's almost kind of like a funnel. When you hold up a funnel, it's broad and you can put a lot in there, but it gets constricted the further down you go. I want to tell you, the further down you go into that path, the more constricted you will be. But you take that funnel and turn it the other way, and it's a very tight opening. You see, that's the straight way. And when you get into that straight way, which few there be that find it, I want to tell you, it opens up. It opens up into great blessings of the Lord. You're not constricted then. you're opened up into the blessings of the Lord. So we see that the prodigal son, that he himself also went down that wrong path. Luke chapter 12. He said in the 15th verse, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." Now there's a whole sermon just in that message right there. Beware of covetousness. Oh, I want to tell you, we are covetous people. We're very covetous. It's our nature. I'm not excusing it. I'm not saying it's okay. It isn't okay. We don't need to be covetous. We need to do away with it, but we all have that tendency to covet our own material things, to covet our money. "And he spake unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plenty. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits?" Now, why did the ground bring forth so much? The Lord blessed it, right? It was a blessing of the Lord. If you have a garden and it's very fruitful, you thank God for that garden. You thank God for what He is, for the rain that He has brought to that garden, and for the fruit and for the bees that pollinate and all the things that go on that have to go on to make those fruits and vegetables there for us. And listen to what He says. What did He do with those blessings? And He said, "This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for yourself. Take thine ease, rest, drink, and be merry. God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided?" Who are they going to be now? You're so covetous with the things that I have blessed you to have. And instead of helping and giving to others, you've hoarded it up for yourself. And the Lord said, I'll snuff out your life tonight. And then we'll see whose those will be then. They won't. In other words, they're not going to be yours then. They'll be done away with. So we see this path of self-gratification, of self-indulgence, of self-will. We could go to many other places. We could go to the book of Daniel and see where Nebuchadnezzar began to boast in himself and thumb his lapel and says, is this not great Babylon, which I have built by the might of my own power and things? And he was really, Nebuchadnezzar was really boasting in himself. And what did the Lord do? The Lord sent him out to graze as a beast in the field. And he had the eagle feathers, the bird feathers on his back and the claws. And he was out there until he learned something. And he finally learned something, didn't he? Nebuchadnezzar said, "And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand nor say unto him, What doest thou?" Nebuchadnezzar had learned a great lesson. He'd learned a great lesson. But the Lord had brought him back out of that, just like the Lord had brought the prodigal son back out of that. Now we see here the path of self-gratification. I want to look just for a moment at another path. The path of self-denial. The path of self-denial, where we deny ourselves. You remember the Lord says, "Whosoever will follow me, let him do what? Deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." You see, this path that I'm talking about, this straight path, this narrow path, is a path where self is denied, where God is honored and glorified, where we look to Him for all of our needs, where we thank Him for all that He has given us, where we acknowledge Him in our lives. Not in what we've done, not in what I've done, not in what I need, but in just following the Lord. It's laying down the pride. You know, pride is something that's gone rampant in this country? Pride. People are so afraid. People get their feelings hurt at just nothing anymore. At nothing. And you know why? It's because we're a nation full of pride. You know what we need to do? We need to deny self. We need to shed that pride. And we need to live for the Lord. There's so many things, and there's so many places we could go to in Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24, it says, "By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter." See, here's denying self. Here's a man that very most likely would be the next one that would be king, He had a choice he could make: self-gratification or self-denial. And what did Moses choose? "Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt," talking about Moses. "By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. For he endured," how did Moses endure? He said he endured as seeing him who is invisible. You see, that's faith. That's the faith that Moses had. Moses couldn't, we can't see God with our natural eyes, but we see him with an eye of faith. We have a trust in him. And here we see that Moses chooses that path of self-denial. Not the path of self-gratification, of self-exaltation, but the path that is pleasing to the Lord. So we see in many different places, we could go on and on with other places that we could go and talk about those that had self-denial. Those that are following the Lord, taking up their cross and following the Lord. The Lord said in the 8th chapter of John that we'd know the truth and the truth would make us free. There's a freedom in that path of self-denial. There's a freedom in that we can glorify God, that we can worship God, that we're not under some kind of bondage that this path of self-gratification leads us to. That path of self-gratification will lead you to bondage. This path of self-denial will lead you to freedom. We find freedom in the Word of God. We find freedom in trusting in Him. Not in the things of this life. Not in the things of self. So how do we stay on that path? I want to stay on that path, don't you? Amen. I want to stay on the path of self-denial. I want to stay on the path where there's freedom. There's freedom. You say, well, what kind of freedom? Oh, there's all sorts of freedom. There's freedom to worship the Lord in truth and in spirit. There's a freedom through the truth that we have that relieves us of the burdens and the bondages that false doctrine brings about. You see, I've got a freedom for my loved ones. When I see the Spirit of God in them, and somebody says, well, they've never been to church, they never went to an altar call, they've never done this or done that, as though salvation was by the works of man. They've never done these things. I want to tell you, I've got a freedom within myself because I can see the Spirit of God in them, and whether they've stepped one foot ever in the church, doesn't have a thing to do with them being a child of God. You hear me? Not a thing to do with them being a child of God. But stepping your foot in the door has got everything to do with receiving the blessings of being a child of God. See, they may have not ever received the blessings
that you can receive in the truth in the church that frees us, but that doesn't take away from what God has done, what Jesus Christ has done. So we can rejoice in that. We stay in that path. We find freedom. How do we stay in that path? By reading God's word. Psalms 119, David said, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." You see, God's word, as I've said many times, not only shows us where we are standing, it's a light unto my feet, but it's also a light, it's a lamp unto my feet. It's also a light unto my path. Not only does God's word show you where you are standing, it shows you where you ought to be walking. The direction you ought to be walking, following the Lord, that path of righteousness. Isn't that what David, by the way, isn't that what David talked about over in Psalms 23? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures and leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul and leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He leads me in the path of righteousness. And the path that we ought to be walking in this life. Not to become a child of God, but that we would receive the blessings that come to a child of God who's walking in the right path, that we may enter into that freedom, that blessing that we have in God's word. How else do we keep our feet on this path and from turning it from evil? Well, let's go over to the third chapter of Colossians. The third chapter of Colossians says, "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above." Okay, first is God's word. Read God's word. You want to stay in that path? The path of self-denial that brings a freedom in your life? You read God's word and you seek out the Lord in your life. "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth." Did you notice it said set your affection? Singular, not in the plural. Set your affection. That's because we're just to have one affection. And that affection is to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Set your affection on Him. Set your affection on things above, not on the things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. For ye are dead. Now, wait a minute. What do you mean ye are dead? I'm not dead, am I? You're not dead this morning. We're alive. But we're dead to the damning effects of sin because of what Jesus Christ has done. Sin hath no more dominion over us. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not saying that we can't sin and that we don't sin and we shouldn't sin. I'm just saying, dear child of God, it doesn't have dominion over you because Jesus Christ has paid for your sins on the cross at Calvary. Eternally speaking, do we still need to ask forgiveness in this life? Absolutely. So that we would stay in fellowship with God. We can lose fellowship, but you can't lose sonship. No matter how far away the prodigal son was from his father, he still had a father and the father still had a son. The sonship, the relationship would never change. But what did change? Their fellowship one with another. That's what changed. In our obedience to the Lord, we can strengthen our fellowship because of our sonship, because we are children of God. We can increase our fellowship with God, or we can go down the path of self-gratification, and He'll still be your Father. He'll still be His Son. We can lose that blessed fellowship now in this life. So many other things that we could talk about. Paul said in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, he said, talking about, "I die daily."
He said, I die daily. What's Paul mean, I die daily? About the 31st verse or something like that. He says, I die daily. He's talking about that I die daily to the flesh. Crucifying the flesh. That's this decision and a choice that we make on what path we're going to travel each and every morning when our feet hit the ground. Which path am I going to travel today? Am I going to follow that path of self-gratification, or am I going to follow that path of self-denial and worshiping the Lord and entering into that peace, that abundant life now in this life? We also keep that, we also maintain on that path by doing something that the Apostle Paul told us to do in the 12th chapter of Romans in the first verse. He said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So how do we maintain on that path? We maintain on that path by reading God's word, by seeking out the Lord, and by sacrificing ourselves to His service. A living sacrifice. It's not just talking about sacrificing yourself to be in the Lord's house on Sunday morning or whenever the doors of the church are open. It's talking about a sacrificing to self each and every day. We have sacrifices to make. Are we going to sacrifice ourselves to the Lord? Are we going to follow that path of self-denial? Are we going to enter into those blessings that God has for us now in this life? The protection and the comfort and the assurance that we receive in that path? Or are we just going to be stubborn and hard-headed and follow down that path of self-gratification? I've been down that path. I've wore that path out. And I want to tell you what, there's never been a blessing I received in that path. And God was merciful to me. God should have left me down in that constricted path, down there at the end of that path where I was constricted, but He didn't. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. I trust this has been a blessing to you this morning. God bless you.